I know some of you are patiently waiting here. Want to chime in on your thoughts about Miami's quote-unquote penalties. I'll get to you guys coming up, I promise. Don't forget, you can hit us up on Twitter, at WesSR910. Bill Roth joining us as he does on a Tuesday evening. Bill, let's start there. Your reaction to hearing what Miami got or what they already did to not get in their penalties?
Well, I think it's a sad day, but probably the best possible outcome. Miami clearly cheated big time. Miami got caught. But then the NCAA botched the investigation. And so there was really no other conclusion that could have happened. The athletic director, Paul D., who, you know, was the head of the committee of infractions that put the hammer down on USC several years ago, died. And then the Rube Booster who caused all of this is in jail, Devin Shapiro. None of the ex-Canes would cooperate. And then they botched the investigation. So you've got a convicted Ponzi schemer behind bars, a dead athletic director, and a botched investigation. It was just a completely sad episode. And I think Miami self-imposing for 2 years helped at the end of the day. And secondly, had they come with any further sanctions, I think Donna Shalala was going to come after them because she did everything but threatened. So you got nothing on us. And what you got, you obtained it going outside your own ethical rules. And that's why the NCAA lost some of their employees over this.
Yeah, she kind of floated it out there. It could be a lawsuit. She kind of did one of those, you know, I'm not saying, I'm just saying if this would happen to come down, I do know you guys got this in a legal fashion. And other than that, you have zero.
Yeah, I don't think Miami was going to react like Penn State and USC and Ohio State did and go, we're good with this.
Yeah,
they were going to come back. The question I have is, you know, Bruce Pearl lied to the NCAA at Tennessee and got a 3-year ban. 3 years. And Frank Haith did the same thing and gets 5 games. To me, the bigger story is how they handled Coach Haith, who I like, by the way. And nothing against Frank personally. He's in that Dave Odom Wake Forest family tree with a lot of people that I've gotten to know over the years and is a good guy. But he lied and got caught, and that's the penalty. It just seemed very unfair. If you're Bruce Pearl at this point, you're going, you got to be kidding me.
Yep.
But and Bruce Pearl was making a lot of money at Tennessee, too. So not only did he lose that, his career as well. But for the ACC's perspective and from Miami's perspective, this was the only logical outcome because of the botched investigation and where we are several years after the story was first broke by Charles Robinson and Yahoo.
It's amazing. You go back, you read that report, you look at all the things that Miami did, they were involved in, there was the shock, there was the yawl, there was talk about the death penalty, and at the end of it, who looks like the bad guy? The NCAA, not Miami.
Well, the bad guy is in jail. You know, this is a really, really bad guy. He hurt a lot of people.
Yep.
I mean, his big thing was hanging around with athletes and running up big bar tabs and strip club tabs, which we all know about now.
He's a wannabe.
Yeah, but there are a lot of people that lost a lot of money through this guy, their life savings in South Florida, on the East Coast, over the West Coast to Naples. I mean, this guy ruined a lot of people. So the bad guy's in jail.
The good guy's on the phone with us. He's Bill Roth. He's the voice of the Hokies. Let's switch this thing over because now we know Miami's not getting a bowl ban, so we draw closer to November 9th, and it looks like the target date when Virginia Tech and Miami will decide the Coastal. But before that, it's back to work, getting ready for the Duke Blue Devils. And as Virginia Tech found out last year and as Virginia's found out the past couple years, David Cutcliffe has done wonders with Duke.
Yeah, they're playing great right now. And their offense is dynamite. And we saw that last year. You know, they came into Lane Stadium and got ahead of the Hokies 20-0 and kind of shocked everyone before Tech responded and won. But I don't think that'll happen this week. I think they have the Hokies' full attention, not only because of last year's game, but because of Duke's 3-game winning streak, and they saw the tape of what they did up at UVA on Saturday.
It's amazing how this season is set up. And you don't want to go back to last year and say anything good came from it. But the way it is set up, you know, the way Virginia Tech, they could have gone in, they got that big win against Georgia Tech, they could have let off the gas against Pitt, but they remember what happened against Pitt last year. They come out of the bye, they could let off the gas against Duke, but they remember what happened against Duke last year. It's kind of like all these little flashbacks from last year are just reminding them you don't let down. You're not in a position to let down on anyone at all.
Yeah, I agree with you. And they're better now than they were. You take a look at the receivers, the catches that they made against Pittsburgh, really good. The tight end evolving, Klein. That guy didn't even dress, I don't believe, for the Alabama game. And if he did, he didn't play. And so the team that Coach Beamer has now coming into Saturday's game is much better than the one he had a month ago, 6 weeks ago. And they'll be better in November, too. I mean, they haven't lost since the Alabama game. And they're healthy, finally. They've been beat up on that offensive line. So the open date came at a good time. We'll see how they respond. You know, the Duke is tricky for the Hokies here or there. And Boston College has always been tricky for Virginia Tech, too, particularly up there. So there's a lot of football left to be played. Miami's got to go to Florida State. I mean, there's a lot of football between the today and the time the Hokies go to Dolphin Stadium to play them, because we both have some big hurdles to jump over.
I know you briefly touched on it there, but health-wise, coming out of the bye week,
especially on the offensive line, those guys were all, I mean, they were all messed up, hands and fingers and ankles and toes, just beat up. So to get that open date really helped. And I don't know, they're on the practice field now. I don't know what the Exum story will be. He may play, he may not. But I think the biggest thing is on the offensive line to have some healthy guys up front. We'll see if the Hokies can run the ball a little bit. That'll probably be the story here in these next few games. It's going to be hard for Virginia Tech to run the table the rest of this season without establishing some sort of a consistent ground game.
Yeah, because you get into these games, and to their credit, their offense has been clicking by air in the first half, but you need that ground game in the second half. You need to wear a team down. You need to weather a team down. And, you know, you always need to have that base of a ground game.
Yeah, you know, the defense is lights out. It's overall as good of a defense as Coach Beamer's had. And they're getting great play up front. They lead the nation in sacks and tackles for loss and all those things. And they've been really good. But eventually someone's going to click and hit a big play. It could be Duke this week. They did it last year here. So the running game is going to have to be there to balance out that offense, because it's going to be hard to win every game kind of in a low-scoring way, so to speak. So we'll see what happens. I'm excited about the team. We talked about it back at the beginning of the season. They just have so many young players playing, you didn't know how they'd react. But now that we're at the end of October and they've got 7 games under their belt, it's time to stop treating them as freshmen.
I totally agree with you. There's a lot of football left to be played. But to their credit, they've put themselves to be in a position to be in a meaningful conversation at this point in October.
Yeah, I wouldn't bet against them. I watched closely the Miami-Carolina game the other night, and I liked Morris, but, boy, he had a lot of Ja'Cory Harris in him. And if Miami wants to play hot potato with the football, I don't know that they'd beat Virginia Tech, and they certainly won't beat Florida State. So I wouldn't mind a Virginia Tech-Florida State game in Charlotte on a chilly, sleety, 32-degree night.
Before I let you go.
Beautiful. That sounds great, doesn't it?
Yeah, for you maybe. For the fans are like, what?
Right. Maybe 40-mile-an-hour winds. Just, you know, get that wind chill down in the teens.
What did you think of that performance by Florida State on Saturday?
Wow, was that impressive?
Yeah, that was beyond. That was the most impressive performance I've seen in college football this year.
To do that on the road is really something else. And Jameis is tremendous, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, that there's a lot. That defense is tremendous as well. There's a lot tremendous about
Florida
State.
There are a lot of great players on that team. Coach Fisher's done a great job there. They've got it rolling. There's no question.
My man, we'll be listening on Saturday, Duke and Virginia Tech from Lane Stadium.
Sounds great. Thanks, Wes.
See you, buddy. And more Virginia Tech talk coming up, Tech Talk Tuesday at the top of the hour with Hokie Steve and the Big Cat.